According to a study by the Shanghai Women's Federation on the women's development in the past 40 years since reform and opening up, Shanghai women's age of first marriage and first childbearing has increased dramatically. So my question here is, how dramatic are we talking about? So how big is this push, postpone? Yeah. Of having kids and marriage for women in Shanghai as we start this discussion.
Yeah, let's start with taking a closer look at the details of the Shanghai situation. So according to Shanghai Women's Federation, the average age of first marriage for women in the city has increased from 23 years old in 2005 to 28.4 years old in 2015. This is an increase of 5.4 years. And also, the increase was 1.9 years than that in 2010. In addition, the median age for first-time motherhood for women in Shanghai was 29-year-old in 2015, almost in the same level with that in the European Union, which was 28.9 years old. But this is still higher than many famous Western developed countries we know. For example, the figure for United States is 26.3, for France is 28.3 years old, and for Canada is 28.5 years old. And also this trend is not only happened in Shanghai. If we take a broader picture into the situation, it's like the whole country, actually, the women are delaying their first marriage age and also their first childbearing age. According to the data from the National Bureau of Statistics, in the past 40 years, women in China, their average age at their first marriage was increased from 21.4 years old in 1990 and to 25.7 years old in 2017. So this means like this is a trend happening in the whole country.
Mm.
So what do you think about this, Tony? Surprising or kind of an old tale from the U.S.?
It's kind of an old tale because I have a lot of sisters and a lot of them are having kids in their 30s. And I think it has a lot to do with, well, they have a little bit more to think about. And, you know, they have to go to school for one thing, and they have to pay a lot of money when you go to school. And then when you, you know, after you pay for your undergrad and then you pay for your postgrad, and then it's like, okay, I want to start a family now. But then are you going to be able to use the degree that you spent so much time and money on if you have a child? Because in the West, it's still considered a woman's duty in a way. I mean, it's not really said in that way, but it's still considered more of the mother's duty to take care of the children. And so a lot of times, you know, there's this cognitive dissonance that a lot of women have, like, well, should I start a family and put my career on hold, or should I just, well, postpone having a child and just work and, you know, work gets benefit from the education that I received.
Mm. And what's also interesting here is that not only are women putting childbearing further back in the, in the future, I suppose, but also they're getting married a lot, quite a bit older in comparison. So there's two things happening, and that says a lot. Because it's not just thinking, oh, career, child, but it's also, hey, are you even going to tie the knot with someone? And how to find a partner that, well, I suppose, despite the rising divorce rates, people still more or less want to stick with one partner for the rest of their lives as they, you know, walk down the aisle together. Well, no, that's actually the Western wedding. Okay, never mind. So when these two people get together, right, that's still sort of the prerequisite or the anticipation people have. So I think some big changes are happening in Shanghai and across these Chinese cities. And we're looking at Jiangsu province, Shanxi province, Qingdao of Shandong province. So that is a capital of a big province, and Hangzhou of Zhejiang province. I mean, these are some of the big cities across China. Shanghai and Beijing, for those who are not familiar with the geography in China, these are the top tier cities in China that have more than 20 million people living here. These are mega cities and very developed, that I think people have really I think finished the urbanization process in a matter of just two decades or less. So you get these mega cities, but also the really big cities with big populations like the ones that I've just listed. And these places, we're also seeing that men and women are putting marriage on hold. And for most people, of course, you have the baby after you get married.
Yeah.
So I would love you guys to investigate a bit more into what makes this come into being. And we can start with the marriage part. Why is it that there are so many people in Shanghai and they're just putting it on hold or saying that I haven't found the really good person, so I'm just going to wait until it happens. And then you're approaching 30 when that happens, and it's the average situation for a lot of people.
That's a really good question. And I really feel that a lot of times when women do go to, you know, educate, you know, they get their education and they're able to get a job that is equivalent to a lot of men, I think it puts men in the hot seat a little bit. And a lot of times,
what do you mean by that?
You feel that, okay, so traditionally we are the providers. We have always been the providers for our family. And a lot of times when you're at work and you work with someone who, well, you work with a lady that earns just as much as you or more than you. And it's a different feel. I mean, I feel for this generation, there's this competition where you feel like I should be able to earn more than my wife. And if she earns more than me, then it causes a bit of friction with a lot of people. And I experienced this in my personal life with, you know, family members where they feel like, you know, it's always, there's a lot of headbutting when it comes to how, you know, we're going to, you know, in the family, how you're going to spend money, and also who makes the decisions in the family. A lot of, again, this is the role that males have played traditionally, but nowadays it's different. You know, now the woman is not going to, well, listen, you know, go according to what the man wants. And since she's working and she pays the bills, she can also, you know, have some authority in the relationship. And I think for some people, this may be a factor.
A factor so that they can't get together or find it more difficult to tie the knot, so to speak, get married.
To get married, right. Huh. Because again, you know, a lot nowadays, women sometimes make more than men. And so there's this, you know, okay, so now the decision making is more not just on my end, it's on her end. And
as well,
I mean, for me, it's not that really that big of a deal, because I grew up in a household where my mom and my dad worked. And actually, my mother made more than my dad. So and I think they executed it really well. I mean, we listened to dad, but also mother had her say as well. But I find in a lot of traditional families, this could be a problem, in that, you know, my grandfather, on the other hand, it's difficult for him to accept this lifestyle. And I think it's because he comes from a different generation.
Huangshan, why do you think that Chinese women are getting married quite a bit later now?
I think for me, I believe this phenomenon or this trend is in line with the social reform and also the urbanization process in China. Because since the reform and the opening up and the reform, and I think the inequality between men and women have been reduced over the years. And now we can see women, we have more chances to receive education and even higher education. So let's do a math here. If you graduated from university, you will be 22 years old. And if you graduated from your master degree, no matter you studied in domestic universities or abroad, you will be at least 25 years old.
More or less?
More or less, yeah. And also, if we look at the figure in Shanghai, so the percentage of female students in higher learning institutions or research institutions has increased from less than 20% in 1986 to 40 to nearly 50% in 2010. So I think over the years until today, there will be more and more girls, the women, they take higher education. So if you graduated from school from 25 years old, you don't want to directly go to the marriage afterwards. So at least you need to 2 or 3 years to build up your own career, because as long as you tie a knot with someone, it's hard for you to totally focus on your career. It's hard for you to strive a balance between your family life and your career life. So I think for most girls, most women, they still want to have their career before 30. So they want to delay their marriage age in order to achieve their own goals.
That's interesting. I think there's definitely some ladies out there that's pursuing the dream of a career. But also, just to put it bluntly, I suppose, sometimes after studying for so many years, you kind of want to see the world a little bit, right? And that's part of human nature. It's like you've been in a, you've left the nest, so you're home sweet home. You've gone to college, and you're still in this relatively enclosed and protected environment. And then you want to see what the working world is about. And also, you kind of want to earn some money because you didn't have a chance to do that. And finally, you can put what you've learned into good use and earn a salary, and you can support yourself. You can buy the good stuff that you couldn't in the past. And that's such a great feeling. And I think every person who's, you know, been through all that education would want to get a taste of that and enjoy that for a little bit. And then it's almost like, wow, you're hitting the big 3-0. And there isn't that much time for you to waste, I guess. And then it's 30. And traditionally, we all think that, well, a lot of us think that at 30 years old, you should be having some things in life, and it would be great if you have a family or at least someone you love and loves you back and all those things. But reality seems to be this fast train, or is it a slow train, actually? A slow train that when you're 30, you feel, I haven't hit that destination yet. And there is this mismatch that I feel society and our expectation has not really met together, and that's a troubling feeling sometimes.
Yeah, you speak about expectations. I was in South Korea a couple years ago, and a lot of my colleagues would say, in Korea, that if a woman does not have a child, then she's not considered a real woman. And I was like, oh wow, what does that mean? Because I've never heard that before. And they were just like, well, yeah, it's very important as a woman to bear kids. And if not, then it's, people will look at you kind of funny, like, well, what are you doing? And it just made me sit back and think about that for a minute, and I was also reading on the Huffington Post that a lot of women who don't have kids or carefree or child-free, tend to be considered immature or selfish. And they're told that motherhood is the most important job in the world and face accusations of living like meaningless lives. And there was a survey that went around, and according to the survey, 48% of women between the ages of 18 and 44 in the United States don't have kids. And that's according to a 2014 U.S. Census. And so and a lot of the responses that came back on this survey was, I want to prioritize my career, or I have a bad relationship with my parents, I don't want the financial responsibility, or I like my life as it is, or I just plain I don't like children. So it was just interesting to hear a lot of these different responses. Even one person said that during my childbearing years, I didn't meet the right man who I want to start a family with and have children. So a child deserves to be born into a family of love at its purest. And I think this has a reflection on your family life. If you grew up in a home where perhaps it was really hard on your parents, for you, for example, paying for your education, and sometimes they would scold you a lot, and you brought them a lot of trouble, it will influence your impact on wanting to have children in the future. So I think that this factor also might come into play in terms of why, women are delaying having children too.
And another reason I can think of for those city dwellers why they postpone or delay their marriage age is they also want to delay their childbearing age. Because for many people, when they get married, maybe at 30, from the family pressure or their parents' pressure, they will push you very hard to urge you to give birth to a baby as soon as possible. So for many people, they are in a very stable relationship. They enjoy the relationship and they want to get married with the other person, but they want to delay the age of having the baby. So they will, as a result, they will also delay the age of getting married.
So you're in a stable relationship, but not necessarily would you get married until you
decided to have a baby.
Yeah, that's also something that people have been talking about, that what is the meaning or purpose of getting married? And now some people think that it's just for the baby, because you would prefer the baby to be born, you know, within marriage.
Right.
So it's easy to get all the hookah and all the process done. And of course, so the baby can have a complete and happy life. That's what parents wish for, I suppose. And when you've got the woman who's received very, very good education, and sometimes and we see that when it comes to the percentage of women getting master's degrees and PhD degrees, it's almost 0.5% of those are female.
Mm.
So we're seeing that it's no longer the case that women are supposedly not good at science and maths. Now women are good at all these education subjects.
Right.
So, I mean, that is a great thing, a great step forward, I feel. But it seems like so many other consequences and things that goes on in society doesn't really match up or catch up to this change. One thing I can point out for you guys is that apparently, according to this study, the glass ceiling problem in the career has not been improved. So this is a little demoralizing to hear. Mm. So on the one hand, you've got more women with highly valued degrees graduating, and a lot more of these ladies. And they've worked so hard to pursue and obtain that degree. And then when they join the workforce, hello, I can't get to the top of the company. And that's what the glass ceiling is about. So many women are kind of stuck and crushed in the lower or the middle spectrum of the corporate ladder. Yeah, how do you look at this?
That's a very unfortunate, you know, reality. And it's unfortunately in the United States as well. I was reading a report from Forbes, and they also did a survey into the salary of leading corporate executives. And this study was done by Procurement Leaders. It's a U.S. data and research firm. And it uncovered evidence that women are still struggling to fill leadership. And the study commenced in 2012, and it uncovered clear evidence of discrimination in that a tenth of senior roles are filled by women, and that in 2017, women earned about 75% of a man's salary. And again, as you mentioned, in the United States, actually, women outweigh men in education in terms of like masters and, you know, doctorates. But yeah, unfortunately, they're still not getting some of the highest paying jobs. And so it's still an unfortunate reality. And I think that that's something that women think about and weigh on. And also, there's something else I feel when they are, you know, wanting to have children. You know, there's the whole issue of maternity leave. And in some companies in the United States, you have to be very careful, because if you, when you do decide to have a child and then you go on maternity leave, that job may not be waiting for you when you come back. And that's something else that I think that, I mean, as men, I never think about that when I go to work. But for them, it's different. It's something that they have to consider. And sometimes they're even... companies are a lot more reluctant to hire women for that reason. So I think there's just a few more things that they have to consider. And so this postponement of having kids, it's definitely makes sense.
Yeah, and also now in China, more and more women or more and more families, they want to have the second child. And just imagine that if you want to have one or two children, and at least you need to put 2 or 3 years a hiatus to your career life, then it's very easy for you to miss your promotion chances. And maybe when you get back to the workplace, you need to readjust the company and the staff, and also trying to fight for a promotion opportunity. Mm. And also, because earlier we discussed about since our country has relaxed the family planning policy, there are more and more newly born babies. But now the nurseries and child care centers couldn't catch up with the increasing number of newly born babies. So when this time, like when one side of the parents need to compromise or sacrifice their career to take care of the babies, usually it's the mom's obligation or mom's job to give up the job or put less focus on their career and give more attention to the baby. So this caused another glass ceiling for the women in today's society, I think.
Yeah. And I remember back in 2016 when we were doing Roundtable, and I remember it was big news and we were so excited that Chinese families are allowed to have two kids. And I think I did the show with two guys, and I remember taking a pause and I was quite concerned about what this would mean for female employment in the future. And here we are 2 years later, and it seems like, yeah, having the second baby has sort of answered that concern. And that is, it's not been made easier at all for women, if not harder, when it comes to promotions and even get employed. Especially like these days when you reach a certain age, let's say you're 28 and married or unmarried, and then when you try to find a job, oh, that's hard, because there's gonna be the inevitable questions. When are you getting married? Do you have somebody stable? What about the kids?
Yeah,
and then it's just really hard to answer that question. And I think in a way, if we look at the family economy, then it kind of makes sense. If you're having two kids and you need to like look after them, then, I mean, just take a bit of time off. And we see that in a lot of developed countries, in the US and in the UK. And when you have more than one kid, then sometimes there's tax preferences for those families, so that one parent can stay at home. And in a way, it kind of does make sense, because you have two to look after. You might as well just take more time off. But one thing that's really the biggest challenge for, I read this actually in a newspaper in the US for moms, is that when they try to come back to the workforce, it's not only just trying to, because you've been talking to babies for the last few years, and now you're going to be battling with office politics and conniving adults, and that's hard. What's most hardest for these ladies is that the confidence, how to regain the confidence when you realize that the skills you used to have for the workplace, they might be outdated. The shelf life of our skills these days, in this day and age, it's so short. After 2 or 3 years out of the industry you've been in, oh man, it feels like you've been out of it for a lifetime. And so many negative things. But how do we make this better for women or the families? Because I always say the woman is really, you know, she's one part of the family, and you need to...
A big pillar of the family.
Yeah, and how do you make this maybe a little bit more positive and promising for working women?
It may be a stretch, but I also feel like perhaps they could do a little bit more with paternity leaves, where the men perhaps can spend a lot more time at home helping raising the kids. That way, when, you know, a woman perhaps can go back to work, and the man can probably have a longer paternity leave where he assists in the childbearing, I think.
And also, I suppose the government might need to step in a bit more to come up with more policies that are supporting Chinese families having more babies. That we'll be back after this break.